Good morning. My name is Cheryl Campbell, and our reading today comes from James 5:13-20. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer is offered in faith, will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wondrous results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone around you wanders from the truth and is brought back, so you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I have FOMO. Anyone know what FOMO is? Fear of missing out. Yeah, I've always had FOMO. FOMO of like something else is happening somebody somewhere else. Like there's a crowd gathered, you hear a murmur, you hear a group of people together, you hear some music, you hear laughter, you're like, oh, what's going on over there? Why can't I be a part of that? I have FOMO. Anyone else agree? FOMO, what's going on? Yeah, like, especially if you're like a, you know, extrovert, you want to connect. Or maybe in church world, oh, that church is doing that. They've got a group of people together. They're all singing. They're all worshiping. And the Holy Spirit's pouring on that church. I have FOMO. I want to be over there. And this week starts our four-week series, FOMO, Fear of Missing Out. My name's Keith Arkham. I'm your lead pastor here. And the next 4 weeks, we will be talking about some of the things we miss out on as Christians and some of the things people miss out on and have fear of missing out on as non-Christians. Ironically, even those of us who follow Jesus, even those who've dedicated our lives to following Jesus, we are missing out, and we have a fear of missing out, especially when you're looking at other churches and other things that are going on, and we have FOMO. So these next 4 weeks, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to talk about, because I want you to have fear of missing out. So I want to guarantee you're all going to be here the next 4 weeks. F-O-M-O, FOMO, fear of missing out. As a young believer, as a new believer, this FOMO came out in looking for where the Holy Spirit was at work. I was looking for other places, looking at other churches where the Holy Spirit was showing up. It was 1994. And there was a small church in Toronto in an airport, and they were experiencing new blessings, and it was called the Toronto Blessing. Anyone remember this? 1994. And this thing was sweeping not just across Canada and mainland and United States, it was also sweeping all the way across the Atlantic into a little town called Portsmouth in England. And I didn't want to miss out on this event or this gathering of people, or these people who were confessing and saying things out loud. Some people were barking like dogs. Someone fell over. Others were uttering words they'd never said before. And this was the blessing. And the whole point of it was to say, you don't want to miss out on this blessing. You don't want to miss out on the blessing of God. Oh, I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out on the Holy Spirit showing up in my life some in a different way. I want to go to that event. So we all gathered in the town hall in Portsmouth. And a few of us, my new Christian friends, we gathered in this town hall, and the place was packed with people. And a gentleman walked out, not on like a stage like this, a gentleman walked out and he said, "Today, there's going to be a blessing of God on this place. And you don't want to miss out." And a bunch of people started coming down the front immediately. And they started to pray and say things that I wasn't sure what was going on. I noticed the gentleman did not have a Bible. I'll leave that with you there. But he started to say, "Okay, you're going to get a blessing from God." And he'd move his hand across the audience and say, "Whoosh, whoosh." And people would fall over. And people would bark like dogs and laugh, shake on the floor. Look at the front like, "What's going on?" And he'd invite people to come down the front. "You don't want to miss out on the blessing of God. Come down the front." I'm not going down there. My friends got on the front. The people I'd gathered with, they all came down the front. And people were praying for them. There was different people from the organization that were praying for them. I stayed in my seat. And then he said again, "You do not want to miss out on this blessing from the Holy Spirit. Come down the front and be blessed by God." "I want to be blessed by God. Anyone else want to be blessed by God? Anyone else want to be blessed by God? Please, show me that you want to be blessed by God." "Yeah, a couple of you. Yeah, yeah, all right." So, yeah, I wanted to play. Yeah, so through peer pressure and through FOMO, fear of missing out, I went down the front. I went down the front, and a gentleman met me to pray with me. And he says, "Hold your hands out like this." "Oh, hold my hands out." He noticed I had a scar on my arm. He says, "Oh, what happened there?" And then I was "Okay, you want to pray for us? Pray for us." And he started to pray for me. And I had my hands out like this. And he put his hand on my front here and his hand on my back here and started to push me over kind of thing. And I was like, "Whoa, whoa." And I opened my eyes and gave him a look to say, "Bro, what are you doing? Oh, you need to receive the blessing. You want to receive a blessing from God. Just open yourself to this." I went back to my seat. Everyone else is like doing their thing down the front. I went back to my seat and I knelt down and said a prayer or a scripture that I'd learned from my youth, yeah? "God will never leave you nor forsake you." You know that one? "God will never leave you nor forsake you." It's in Hebrews. God will never, it said to the Hebrews, but it fits well with us now. No matter what's going on, no matter what's going on in culture, no matter what's going on in church, no matter what's going on in and amongst your life, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? So I went back to my seat and I prayed that prayer. Commotion was going on. And not long after that, God gave me people to pray with me and for me and to bless my life and to help me develop a prayer life that not only met at these massive pinnacle rooftop moments in our lives, but helped me daily, every day, to receive a blessing from God. A lot of the friends, new friends that went down the front, did not go on with the Lord, did not continue their walk with Christ, maybe looked for other places, for other special moments of blessing from God. But I had a better blessing than the Toronto blessing by God sending me people to teach me how to pray, to teach me to not have FOMO of events, but to have FOMO of missing out from a daily blessing from God. And I learned that early on in my life. I learned that early on in my new Christian walk. What about you? Where do you have FOMO? Do you have FOMO that somebody else has got a better life than you? Do you have FOMO that you've dedicated all your life to this way and this pattern, yet somebody else seems like they're getting something else that you would like? Do you have FOMO that you're missing out, that you're in the wrong church, and that the Holy Spirit's not showing up in this church? It's all going on in another church. Do you have a FOMO? I've not been at the right concert. There was a big concert last night. Do you have the FOMO of not being at the right concert or the right event that God's going to bless your life in there? Where are you experiencing FOMO? As Christians, we are sometimes missing out on the power of prayer. As followers of Jesus, we are sometimes missing out in our daily walk in the power of prayer. Sometimes there are things going on in our lives, and we are missing out when we are not praying. Well, how do we pray? How do we get to a place where we can pray? And what does that look like? Our scripture reading today was from James chapter 5, the most practical book in the Bible, the most practical writer, gives us some insights on how we should pray. James, the half-brother of Jesus, of course, Jesus was adopted, so James is the half-brother of Jesus, and he wrote this book for us to understand how to live our Christian life, how to live as a follower of Jesus, not just 2,000 years ago, but also today. So if you've got your Bibles with you today, open it at James chapter 5. It's towards the back of your Bible if you have a physical one. If you're on your phone there, open it up, Google James chapter 5. You can open a tab online as well. I want you to follow along because you could see something different that you've never seen before. The power of prayer. James says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal a sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. And look at this passage. He goes straight into where we need prayer. Suffering hardships. And what are we to do if we're suffering hardships? We should pray. And he says we should call upon the elders of the church. So those who are prayers in the church. Now I'm proud of this church, our church, because we have a whole prayer team. In fact, when I walked in here today, someone said to me, I'm praying for you because you're going on a mission trip on Wednesday. And they know that because there's a prayer network. And if you have needs in prayer, you can send them to us and we will send them around an email link that helps people to be concerned for you and pray for you. And as you know, after service in our chapel, there are people who pray for you daily and available here on a Sunday. And I'd say prayer ministry, a prayer of the elders, those who are committed to praying for you. And I am on that list because I need prayer, amen? And if you need prayer, let the elders know. So if you're sick, let us know. If you don't let us know, we can't pray for you. So if you put it on Facebook, that's the first time I see it. If you are sick, pray and ask the elders to pray for you. And the three areas are suffering, if you are sick, and even if you are happy. What should we do if we're happy? Sing praise. Sometimes it's good to sing praise even when you're not happy. Sometimes I'll come in here on a Sunday and I'm not happy, and then I'll get happiness from other people, and then I'll sing, and then I'm happy. So you probably should do that too if you're not feeling happy. But whatever it is, sing praises to God. Pray in a praise. Praise God through a prayer. And if you're sick, Like if you're sick, you need surgery. If there's something wrong with you and there's a medical thing, don't come see me because I'm not a doctor. Yeah. If you're sick and you need fixing, we have people who fix you and heal you. They're called doctors and nurses and medical professionals. And Jesus said to the disciples when they were marveled at what he was doing and how he was healing people, he said, you are going to see greater things than these. And those of you who have been healed from great illnesses and great sicknesses, you know that, amen. You know the doctors have been able to do miracles. You know that some of the advances in science to heal our bodies are absolutely mind-blowing. Yet, even doctors, nurses, medical professionals, the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, knows that prayer works. They did a study a long time ago, 1999, about random people who didn't know people were praying for them. And they surmised from this study that actually, guess what? Prayer works. And we knew that too, right? Amen? We knew that because we see and hear. Prayer works. So pray for the sick. Pray if you're going through hardships. Anoint one another with oil. We've done that here and on other occasions. And the Lord will make you well. And look at the end of that verse 15. It says, and if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. It's interesting that when we go to prayer sincerely, we are aware of sins in our life or things that are blocking us or things that are not helping us hear as well as we could. And Richard Rohr, my favorite Catholic, says that, tells us what sins are. He says, sins are fixations that prevent the energy of life. They prevent God's love flowing freely. They are self-erected blockades that cut us off from God and hence from our own authentic potential. When we are praying, we naturally repent of anything. We naturally bring our sins before God. I was struggling last year, and we went to a conference in Tennessee. It was a seedbed conference. And while we were there at this conference called New Room, there's a time of ministry at the beginning where people come down the front, not like the Toronto Blessing, but when people pray for you down the front. And I went down the front, and there's a lady down the front I'd never met before, and she asked me what I needed prayer for. And she started praying for me, and I started to cry. And she said some prophetic words to me. She says, God knows what you're doing. God loves what you're doing, and he loves you so much. I was crying. I was in a bit of a, oh, this is amazing. And so I left that conference with a Tennessee blessing. Yeah? I didn't have a Toronto blessing. I had a Tennessee blessing, which was 100 times better. Ask people to pray for you. You never know what might happen. Ask people to pray for you to be healed. Ask people to pray for you to bear one another's burdens, to share in the places that you are having difficulty. Verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. Notice this section starts with confess to one another your sins. It doesn't say grab a random person walking out of Publix and tell that person your sins. Yeah, it's people who you are with and you know, people who know who care for you, who want the best for your life, people who know that you are walking with Jesus and trying to walk with Jesus. and confess to them. And when that happens, we are healed. Notice the purpose of confessing to another person is that you are what? You are healed. It is not so that you can talk about it in the lobby. It's not that so you can talk about it in the parking lot outside. It's not so you can talk about it on social media. The purpose of you confessing to one another is so that you will be, nice and loud, the purpose of confessing to one another is so that you will be. And when we're healed, we're thankful that we confess to one another. Especially if someone says to you, oh, I have been struggling with that too. So powerful. I've been struggling with that. I have a friend who's struggling with that. And I feel you. Oh, relief. Healing. And he talks about Elijah. Talks about how he prayed and rain stopped. And it's not that rain wasn't going to come. It's the fact that when he prayed, it happened to stop. And when he prayed again, it happened to rain. He says the prayer of a righteous person has a lot of power. The prayer, and often in the past, we've read the scripture to say, well, if I pray for him, if I got a couple of people together and we stand around and we all say amen in the name of Jesus' name, he will guarantee it. Amen? No. It says the prayer of a righteous person avails much. Much can happen when a righteous person prays. And what does righteous mean? What does it mean to be a righteous person? We have these visions in our head of what that looks like. Matthew Henry says that a righteous man is someone who has their thoughts fixed, their desires firm and ardent, and the graces, our graces, in exercise. When we pray in prayer, we shall speed in prayer. Always looking to glorify God. John Wesley says, I see abundantly more than I feel. I want to feel more love and more zeal for God. That's what righteous means. I want to feel more love and have more zeal for God. James Emery White, who's the kind of the brains behind the FOMO theme that we're doing, says that if you're going to be righteous, you're someone that prays with prayer. You wrestle with the prayer and you continue to pray through it. You continue to pray throughout the whole thing, prayers that you know and prayers that are written in our scripture. And he ends the book of James. He ends it with, my dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders, verse 19, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring it about the forgiveness of many sins. If someone among you wanders away, I know that you're praying for one person. I know that you know somebody, that you've seen them fall out of love with the church, not just this church, Big C Church, big church in general. You've seen people not only fall out of love with the church, the Big C Church, but also fall out of love with God. As if that were even possible. And I know you're praying for that person to fall back in love with God. I know you're praying for that person to fall back in love with the church, Big C. And I know that you're praying for that person to fall in love so much so that they're back here with you in church, praying and praising and asking for healing and asking for God to speak to them afresh and anew. And notice that it never works if we say, didn't see you in church on Sunday. It never works if you say, a lot of dust on that Bible, or you haven't opened your Bible app in a long time. Yeah, Sister Mary said she didn't see you again in at that conference. But we woo people. We cleverly woo people back into a relationship with God. We cleverly ask them to come to an easy on-ramp event at your church. Invite them home. I don't know. Talk about dogs. Talk about whatever they're interested in. And you woo them back into the place where they can experience God anew and afresh again. And I know all of you believe that that can happen. Amen? That's what we want today. We don't want to miss out. We don't want to miss out on what God's got for us, what blessing that God has got for us today. And sometimes, even in our prayer lives, as Christians, we miss out on not praying. We miss out on not bringing our sins before God. We miss out on not bringing our family before God. We miss out on not bringing that one person before God. Early on in my Christian life, I'd always read this scripture, and you've probably heard it before. It's a real simple one. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and Paul is talking to the church in Thessaloniki, and he writes in the 17th verse of chapter 5, he says, pray without ceasing, or never stop praying. I often think to myself, how am I going to do that? Am I going to, like, every breath I breathe, like, why am I going to pray all the time, Paul? How is that possible? And then as you get older and you're praying for something all the time, whether it's your family member or whether it's your sickness or whether it's for somebody else to heal, pray without ceasing seems real easy, amen? Yeah, sure, I'll pray. I got nothing else to do. Yeah, and I've been to the doctor. I bang my head off the wall constantly for this family member. That's not working. I'm just getting a bruise on my head. I have done everything the doctor has asked me to do to be healed. I have prayed and prayed for my aunt and uncle to come to know the power of the Lord Jesus. And I want to do that again today. I've been doing it all my life. Pray without ceasing? Sure, I got it. And I don't want you to miss out on prayer. I want you to have a fear of missing out on prayer. I want you to know the life-changing power of prayer. And so today when you walked in, you were given a card. If you didn't get a card, there's a couple of cards in front of you. There's a card in front of you or a card in your hand. And I want you to write on there some prayers. Now, I'm not just going to put on there, do whatever you want. I got three areas for you to pray around that we talked about in the scriptures. The first one is to your family member or friend that you are praying without ceasing for. Who is that person that you're praying for who is sick, ill, in need of healing? Write that person down. Don't put your name on it. I don't need to know that one. They're gonna go in the basket and go away. But put on there the family member, and if you've got a bunch, put them on there too. I know what mine is right now. Put that family member on there who you would like to see healing. The scripture says, pray for people to be healed. Put your family member, first one, number one, family member. Second of all, is that when we go to prayer, our sin is revealed. Our struggle with sin, the blockade that stops us hearing from God. Put in there a sin or a struggle that you are having that you keep revisiting, that you keep going to, and you've been going there all the time. It's like, when is this going to go away? Put on there a struggle. Nobody's going to read these cards. Family member, a sin of a struggle. And finally, when you've done those things, pray for one person. One person to fall in love with God again, fall in love with church again, the big C, and fall in love again with this church, if that were even conceivable. Pray in three areas. Your family member or friend to be healed, for a sin or struggle you're having, and that one person that you would love to see with you today, worshiping and praying with you. And once you've done that, I want you to bring them to the front. We've got some baskets on the front here. There'll be a table here with a basket. We're just going to place them in the basket as an offering to the Lord. I can tell you just to pray now, and you might pray, I don't know, but when you bring something up and you physically place it in the basket, it's an offering to the Lord. You're lifting it up before Him. Daryl is going to sing. He's going to sing, and during that time, be reflecting and bring up your cards to the altar, to the stairs, and place them in the baskets that are along here. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we bring before you our prayers today. We bring before you our family member, our sins, and that one person that we'd love to see restored to a right relationship with you. We ask, Lord, as we bring our prayers forward, that you would hear them. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Altar's open.